Welcome to Campfire, connecting primary producers. Campfire provides a solution-focused community for farmers to improve work systems and support mentally healthy workplaces.
Working dogs, they're a crucial part of any livestock operation, but they're so much more than just another tool to get the job done. G'day, I'm Drew Radford, and for most farmers, their dogs are by their side all day, every day. It's a special relationship that can often help with mental health. Kelly Barnes pondered this a few years ago and created a unique dog training program that incorporated discussions about mental health. The result was Mates Dog School. It was a distinctive approach that also led to her becoming Victorian AgriFutures Rural Women's Award winner for 2020. Kelly joins us for this Campfire podcast. Thanks for your time.
Oh, you're welcome, Drew. It's always a pleasure.
Kelly, we're going to talk about your work with dogs, something I'm particularly passionate about. Before we delve into this too much further, I want to take one step back and try and understand how your journey with dogs and mental health began.
So I have always loved animals. I grew up on a farm in the south of England. When I finished uni and I worked on a sheep property, I remember saying to my boss, who was really into dogs and trialing and things, I said, I'd just be set if I had a crook and a dog. I worked as a shepherd for a year on a sheep property there. So I got my first working dog, who is a border collie, and her name was Lucky. And she was a bit of a different dog. She was really, really loyal, loved me, hated everyone else, which I thought was perfect. So we just used to spend all day, every day together. We became inseparable, and I just really developed this real love for working dogs, but also because I worked on my own a lot, this real appreciation for how much company they were when you're out working. So obviously very sad when I went traveling and left poor Lucky behind. She stayed home with my dad, but I just really missed having my working dog with me when I was working on sheep properties here. So I ended up as a backpacker getting a working dog here as well. And that's the dog Dougal, who's sort of become the legend in all the dog school and the history here.
I just want to understand, though, you're a backpacker and you end up with a dog. That's not a good mix, having been a former backpacker myself, because that kind of gets you to stop. So you ended up changing. You ended up working on properties in Australia and becoming a resident.
I never really was the traditional backpacker. I came here very much to work and kind of embrace like rural life here and sort of learn about farming. And I just really loved the big open spaces and working on farms. So I tended to stick to doing that. I didn't really have a lot of incentive to travel per se, like I have done some travel, but most of the time was working. So yes, it is a funny combination. And I do remember my friend and I rang up and asked about this job. We were in South Australia and we rang this shearing contractor in WA and said, we're looking for some work and blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh, and by the way, I've got a dog. And he's thinking, oh yeah, righto. And he said, oh, what kind of dog? And I said, oh, Kelpie. He's like, okay, you can bring it with you. And then his wife said to us, oh, it was just so funny. He's like, oh, these two backpackers turn up with this dog and then it's actually a working dog. And it just blew his mind. He's like, you two are a bit weird, but you actually turned out really good. So the good old Dougal actually ended up getting us quite a lot of work as well. It does kind of ground you a bit, but I guess it was that kind of companionship and having someone there with you that was good as well when you're working out in some of those remote places.
Well, that companionship was very important to you, I understand, because you ended up developing a disease which stopped you from doing that kind of work. What was that? And then how was Dougal important to you in that process?
Yeah, that's right. So in, when would it be, 2015, I was officially diagnosed with fibromyalgia, which is a chronic pain condition. And it's a bit of a weird one. No one really knows what it is. There's no actual kind of diagnosis other than process of elimination. But I just began getting chronic pain. I was working in the sheds and doing farm work and getting quite a lot of back pain. And I switched to off-farm work and it actually got worse when I did that. So the stress of changing roles, being more sedentary, everything like that actually made it worse. basically a lot of chronic pain, a lot of fatigue. I'd quite often spend all weekend on the couch recovering. And poor old Dougal, he'd had a few injuries himself in his working years, so him and I would quite often spend a lot of time hanging out on the couch. So he was really good like that because he wasn't really energetic and he had ailments as well, so we used to toddle around together. But yeah, it's definitely a real kind of change for me and having to find a new sense of worth and sense of identity, I think, going from being quite physically able and always doing physical jobs to then not being able to do them. So it's good having him to kind of work through it with.
Well, Kelly, in regards to that sense of worth and sense of identity, you hatch upon an idea, which is dogs and farmers. What was that merging there?
I actually did a digital storytelling workshop at the National Centre for Farmer Health, and we had to find pictures and add them to a story, basically a narrative about a challenging time. So obviously I talked about having the chronic pain and being diagnosed and things like that. And when I was looking for pictures, I just remember looking through my phone and literally every picture was a selfie of me and Dougal or a picture of me and someone's dog or other dogs I'd had. And it just really got me thinking about, I'd never probably reflected on how much support they'd given me before. And even then, sort of taking aside the chronic pain, looking at working on farm, because a lot of them were of me, you know, on the bike or something with the dog. And just really looking at how much time you actually spend with your dog when you're on farm. So then thinking about that, wondering if you could use that concept for farmers that do feel isolated or do struggle with their mental health. And also looking at therapy dogs, as it's well known that dogs are really good therapy. They're good going into hospitals, going into old people's homes. So trying to kind of flip the thinking a bit on the traditional working dog and start to see them as that support tool as well as just a working tool.
Kelly, I understand this led to you merging some of these ideas into actual dog training classes. But to me, it seems like the training was a bit of a hook to get people in.
I think sometimes when you talk to farmers, especially farmers about mental health, you kind of just imagine a bit of a groan and a bit of a eye roll. But I think finding things that they enjoy doing and finding something that they're interested in and then just adding these little concepts and little anecdotes into that is a really good way of doing it. It's not confronting. It's quite a gentle way to introduce some concepts. It's a way of getting them to start thinking about mental health as being part of everyday life, I think. And I'm quite passionate about working on your mental health as opposed to talking a lot about mental illness. And I think the word mental health sometimes gets kind of used in the wrong context. So it's just about normalising it and I think bringing it into situations that they enjoy doing and tacking it on is a really good way to start that conversation.
So is this about promoting mental well-being in the first place?
Yep. I'm quite strong on that sense. Like, I think there's definitely that area of need to manage mental illness and to work with people with mental illness. But for me, I much prefer working in that preventative space. So to me, mental health is the same as physical health. It's important for everyone. So I think we can all do something to improve our mental health. So it's about normalising that conversation, promoting that concept that we can start doing things early and working on your well-being and your mental health the same as you would your physical. And as soon as you talk about dogs, everyone loves talking about dogs. So it really opens up that conversation and just breaks down some of those barriers. And there is that stigma that's still there. So it's just a way of sort of starting to flip our thinking.
So in terms of flipping that thinking, can you just briefly outline how it really works in terms of a class setting? What you're running dog training and getting people together, then what happens from there?
The way I ran my pilot program was probably a little bit different to normal dog training schools, but it came from that experience for me of having done a two-day school and, you know, loving the school, but kind of going away and thinking, I don't really know what to do once I got out of those 2 days. So we did 1 day a month for 6 months. And I had a well-known dog trainer, so Ian O'Connell did the dog training. So most of the day was taken up with doing like the fun side of things. So, you know, he would do a bit of theory and then we'd go out and do some practical stuff with the dogs. And then around that, I would do probably half an hour at the most of talking about a concept of resilience and mental well-being. So just introducing those concepts, but in a very gentle way, just to start changing people's thinking. And the other thing was the way that the days were structured. So having enough time for people to have conversations, to build connections within the group. So the idea was that by the time the 6 months had come to an end, these people had formed a good relationship with someone else within the group as a bit of a support network. And then we sort of structured it with kind of a coaching theory of setting goals and working through the challenges and talking about a different topic each session, but really tying it all together. So progressing with the dogs and then seeing how they were going with the things they wanted to achieve, and then also debriefing, because as you and I know, working with animals, working with livestock, something always goes wrong. But having that discussion and that chance to work through with people when things went wrong, you know, what they can do to perhaps do something differently next time, but also, you know, reflecting on the good things that happened, because quite often we'd get hung up on, you know, how was the last 4 weeks? It would instantly be this and this went wrong. And so just changing that thinking as well of, well, what actually went right. So what are the wins? What wins did you have with your dog? What's gone really well for the last 4 weeks, as well as just focusing on the negatives?
Which sounds like a great template for life, really, isn't it? That's what you're mapping out there.
That's right. And we are so focused on, you know, just from evolution, we're focused on the tiger that's going to come and eat us. We don't care about the, you know, the cute, fluffy little rabbit over there that's nice. It's just focusing on basically the things that are dangerous to us. So that's how our thinking has evolved. So sometimes it's good just to reflect on the nicer things as well.
Which is a lovely way of turning around and looking at things and really being grateful for what you have, I guess. But was this challenging? What were the most challenging aspects of the program for the farmers?
I think some of it is the consistency and putting in time between sessions. So, and I'm the same too. If I'm not accountable, I just don't do it. But finding that time, you know, we were doing it from January to June. So there's quite a lot of things happening. There's lambing, there's sowing, there's all sorts of other things happening on the farm, but just really trying to put aside time. And they'd all say, oh, you know, you'd kind of get 2 or 3 weeks would pass, and even if they'd done nothing then, they would still do something in the last week before the next school, because they had that kind of accountability to turn up and have made some progress. So I think it's good just to have that bit of motivation and that bit of accountability, but it is hard. Like, quite often everything else gets in the way, and life does get in the way. So getting them to think about the same thing for their own mental health and their own well-being as well, like, you've got to be consistent, but you've got to keep doing it, and that is really, really challenging.
Kelly, how have you seen farmers apply what they've learnt in the sessions?
So it was a really nice process for me. It was very much an honour to watch people from start to finish of the program, just seeing how they bonded with their dogs. They're a lot more connected with their dogs. I think they understood them a lot more. So it can be quite challenging if you don't really know until someone kind of shows you, because you can try and do things with your dogs and it doesn't always go right. You classically want to blame the dog, but, you know, you could see people sort of learning how their behaviour then affected their dog's behaviour. So with moving stock and where you stand and how you give directions and things like that. So that was really lovely just to see that, because it's not always easy to reflect on yourself. So just to see how the effect that they were having as a person, and then seeing them adapt the way they worked or the way they instructed their dogs to get the best out of them. And I think learning that, you know, sometimes things go wrong, that's a part of life, and not to get down about it. So as we went through, we'd kind of got funnier with our little stories of things that had gone wrong, and they learned just to work around it or learnt new skills to prevent it happening, but it didn't become such an issue when things went wrong, which was really nice.
That's a wonderful description, Kelly, and it puts some really great context around it. What do you reckon the lessons are we can learn from our dogs about wellness, mental health, and working with other people?
Like, real simple things like nutrition. You know, you're looking at, if you want that dog to work all day, you've got to fuel that dog. It's got to have plenty of water. It's got to have good nutrition. The same with us. So, you know, if we want to be at our best, we need to look at what we're eating. We need to look at, you know, are we drinking enough water? Are we getting enough sleep? You know, the dog gets hot, on a hot day, they'll go out and jump out and jump in the trough and cool down and come back. And it's similar to us. It doesn't have to be long, but you just need to take a quick break, reset and get back in. The other thing I love is all stock are different, all dogs are different, and I think people don't really appreciate this, and so are people. So they've, you know, like a dog that works cattle all the time, you put it on sheep, it's not going to work very well. The same if you've got a dog that works merinos all the time, they handle very differently. They're a completely different behaviour to a crossbred sheep. So it's taking some of those lessons and looking at us. We're all different. We've all got different personalities. We've all got different strengths. And just learning to identify your own strengths and weaknesses and learning that in other people can really help you to thrive. That was one that was particularly popular at dog school too. So we did make people do their personality styles, and it just takes the pressure off because you learn what you're not good at, and you're not then kind of beating yourself up when you can't do something, and you can learn to find other people that can fill those gaps and to work with as well. The thing that I found most valuable to me is just dogs need exercise, and they need physical exercise, and they need mental stimulation. And it's true for us too, and they're so motivating. Like, you don't have to go far, but you take your dog for a walk, you know, you can just go for 10 minutes, and it's just that bit of exercise, bit of fresh air, bit of downtime can really, really influence your mental health. But it's not always something you would naturally do on your own. So just having that little buddy to go with you, but knowing that it's really beneficial for both of you, I think is really good.
At the end of the day, Kelly, these are by and large working dogs as well, and that can have an enormous benefit for you in terms of helping with your workload as well.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I absolutely swear by mine. I can't run to save my life, so I'm really appreciative when the dogs can take off after sheep that break. I also think there's a physical safety element there too, because it's much safer to use a well-controlled dog in that rough or steep country than us tearing across it and trying to get places we shouldn't. But I don't particularly like working on my own. I found that dog a really good source of companionship and motivation too. So for me, like, I would be a lot more motivated having them with me and doing stuff, even if it was fencing, which I hate fencing. But, you know, you have the dog with you, it's a little bit more interesting. And things like communication. So if you're trying to tell your staff what to do, you've got to be clear. You've got to give them instructions they can understand. And I think the same with dogs. You know, you need to know that dog's set of commands, and you need to communicate to them in a clear way. That applies to staff too. So if you're trying to tell someone to do something and you're not communicating clearly, they're not going to understand it. The same as if you're trying to command your dog and you're using completely the wrong commands. So I think there's a lot of little lessons that you can pick up, but also just having that calm, effective stock handling is a really good one too, just to calm everything down, but have the dogs working really, really well. That definitely increases productivity in livestock as well. So, yeah, there's so many benefits. It's hard to quantify them sometimes, but, yeah, they're definitely worth their weight in gold, I think.
Kelly, I couldn't agree with you more. They are worth their weight in gold, and the benefits are numerous. And credit to you for all the great work that you are doing to try and bring all of that together. Kelly Barnes, Victorian AgriFutures Rural Women's Award winner for 2020 and founder of Mates Dog School, thank you for taking the time and joining us for this Campfire podcast.
Oh, thank you so much, Drew. It's always a pleasure. And as I said, everyone loves talking about dogs, so it's always a joy for me to have another few minutes of airtime to share their benefits.
Thank you for listening to the Campfire podcast. For more information regarding Campfire, please visit the National Centre for Farmer Health website. All information is accurate at the time of release. This podcast was developed by the National Centre for Farmer Health and is funded by the Victorian State Government's WorkSafe, WorkWell Mental Health Improvement Fund.